everybody, and welcome to Let's Talk Assassin's Creed, your number one podcast for all things Assassin's Creed. So, before we jump into today's topic, I do have an announcement that James sadly couldn't make it this week, which is a disappointment, because I miss him already. He's a great laugh, and he's always a great person to have on board and chat with, so hopefully he will be back for next week's episode, which will be released Christmas Eve, not Christmas Day. And that way, when you've got your turkey roasting, your gifts are opening, or you're chilling with some sherry around the fire, you can listen to mine and James' beautiful voices serenading you with facts about Assassin's Creed. So, in today's episode, we're going to be talking about dinosaurs and how they could fit into the Assassin's Creed lore, but also, is it possible that Abstergo have deleted all true records of human evolution to control the public? So it's a bit of a fun, let's have some fun, maybe dive into some conspiracy theories of our own, but I am not alone. I am joined this week with Lord Raylus.
Hey everybody.
Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks for having me back.
Oh, you know, as I've always said for years, if you're on the show once, you have to be on the show twice. Or three times. Or four.
Three times.
I lose count. So, before we get started, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite dinosaur? Randomly.
That is a very good question, because that's a question that everybody gets asked. I would probably say... Oh, that's a really good question. I always think about the big three, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, the Triceratops, and the Stegosaurus. And I'd probably say... Stegosaurus is really cool because those tails. Ankylosaurus, I think, is another one that has a good, like, hammer-type tail that's a really cool one. But I'd probably say Stegosaurus. I like the spikes, and they were always fun to draw as a kid. And I know T-Rex is always a really good go-to, and Triceratops had a little bit of controversy for a bit where they were noting that, oh, yeah, we called it the wrong thing for years, and... Everybody's like, I don't care. You said it's a Triceratops. That's what it's called.
Imagine that your greatest mess up in science history becomes fact. That's pretty genius.
Yeah.
So, dinosaurs.
Yes.
I've been watching clips of Jurassic Park and reading dinosaurs with my kids, so I had to bring this up. And biggest disappointment that I think we should discuss about, because it's kind of humorous, is the dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years, way before the Isu arrived.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't it have been fun if the Isu had pet dinosaurs?
I could definitely see it being a thing.
Like, imagine seeing clips of the human Isu revolution, and, you know, just some Isus are chilling on top of a T-Rex, or, you know, pack training velociraptors.
Right.
So... on this little bit of let's have some fun, would they have used dinosaurs in warfare with pieces of Eden or for farmware? So, like, Triceratopses could haul carts because they'd be a lot stronger than cows and horses.
So, my thought on it would be if the dinosaurs were extinct before the Isu came around, I would not be surprised if the Isu discovered dinosaur bones just through... city building and just exploring the planet and stuff like that. And from that, especially because they have a huge science, branch of their work, like what we saw in Odyssey, in Atlantis, I could definitely see there being some of the scientists trying to recreate these dinosaurs and like what they would have looked like and stuff like that, or possibly even using their tech to look back in time, or like using the Shroud of Eden to resurrect a dinosaur just from its skeletal remains, which I don't know if the Shroud is strong enough to do that, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, and when they actually have a dinosaur, in the way that we're trying to recreate the woolly mammoth now using, you know, amber DNA mammoth DNA from amber and elephants, I could see them recreating that dinosaur and then using it for experimentation, whether it be trying to weaponize it, trying to make it more, I guess, tied into their artifacts, or just trying to just research it, collect data on the world, you know, and maybe doing that led them to think, you know, what if we just made our own creature, you know, which led to Adam and Eve.
That's a pretty cool. I'm now just imagining just a white-haired Isu man setting up Jurassic Park, so you kind of like got me thinking of Isu Jurassic Park now. Come kids, come see Jurassic Park. It's fine, we can kill it with an apple of Eden if it goes wrong. But we do know scientifically in real life, especially during the Ice Age, a lot of creatures were frozen near enough preserved perfectly. Right. Would the Shroud of Eden actually be strong enough to resurrect something that was preserved through ice?
I would say so, because at least in there, it still has DNA, and I mean, even bones would still have DNA to a point, but it would have more to, you're more just revitalizing instead of trying to like reconstruct. Because I think about the mummies, you know, if they were to put a Shroud of Eden on a mummy from Egypt, they could easily bring back somebody like Aya or Bayek or Cleopatra, possibly. Because at least they still have flesh and bone and, you know, all of these, pretty much everything you need. It's just, it's dehydrated, you know, minus, you know, having organs removed. But, you know, if a shroud could bring somebody, yeah, I guess they would still have to have all of their vital organs. So yeah, if a dinosaur was, you know, encapsulated in ice, it would have everything because nothing would be removed. So I think it would be more likely that a shroud could resurrect a dinosaur that was frozen compared to a mummy that would have everything removed, unless the shroud is that powerful enough to where it could recreate matter, which I don't think it can.
Kind of an interesting one, you know. If Abstergo have got the hands on the Shroud of Eden, I wonder if they've tried themselves to, you know, resurrect a mammoth just for the fun of it. I really don't want to picture that now, you know, modern day Assassin's Creed, we've got to fight a mammoth.
Right.
Desmond Miles fights a mammoth. That'd be weird. But
that'd be Far Cry Primal level stuff.
Oh, I hope they don't do that. I love... Pardon?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love the fact that Odyssey's time frame works better as the lowest point you should reach. You should not go down to Dinosaur Age. That's just too far-fetched.
Right. So, according to the infographic book for Assassin's Creed, it notes that the Shroud has the power of healing all wounds, and Consus used it to transfer his own consciousness to allow him to take control of certain users, but it doesn't say anything about full-blown resurrection. But knowing the kind of powers and stuff that the various pieces of Eden have done, I wouldn't be surprised if they had some kind of piece that maybe we haven't even seen before, or like a prototype where they did try to resurrect something from the dead. But I'm sure even with their rules, they have things that they won't cross, like resurrection. Like they may have it to where they can preserve something or digitize it, but possibly not cross that line and actually bring something back from the dead. I guess they haven't gone through scientific ethics with Isu before.
I think they should, now you mentioned it, because that'd be quite an interesting point to come up with, you know. Did the Isu have ethics for some of the stuff they did? Obviously, creating human slaves was an ethic that they were not really bothered about, but there could have been some ethics. But what about the staff of Hermes? Because we know Basim was technically dead in the Yggdrasil device, and he was resurrected with the staff of Hermes.
So he wasn't dead, though, because he was kept in Yggdrasil, and Yggdrasil kept him alive, it just aged him. And then when he did grab the staff, it did revitalize him back to his, I wouldn't necessarily say peak, because I'm sure Basim as a human before Loki came into play, I'm sure Basim was at a higher kind of peak performance, and then he was just kind of enhanced when Loki came, but that would really just be mentally. But, I mean, yes, they could possibly use the staff to give to a dinosaur, but you have to be extremely strong-willed and of strong mind, and you also have to have the ability of holding it, which requires you to have some form of Isu DNA, you know, the helixes, because a dinosaur isn't going to have pretty much a mind at all. They're going to have an extremely, like, walnut-sized brain to where all of their stuff is primal and, what's the word I'm looking for? Instinct. So in getting a dinosaur to hold onto a staff like that and hold onto it for a while would be difficult, because as soon as you take the staff away, it would just die again because it's already aged, you know, so long. Because, you know, we look at Cassandra, for instance, you know, she had the staff, she held it for, what was it, 2,000 plus years, if not more, maybe 4,000. I don't remember exactly how old she was when she relinquished the staff. But as soon as she lets it go, that age catches up with her. So having a dinosaur, I mean, you'd have to duct tape it to a dinosaur, you know, pretty much. And even then, is that enough just to be in physical contact, or do you have to be holding it and then thinking about, you, even if it's just subconsciously, if I let go of this, I die?
Why can't I just not picture now a T-Rex with its tiny arms having a staff of Hermes duct taped to it? So we've pretty established and theoretically living dinosaurs in Assassin's Creed is going to be a near impossibility.
Right.
But what if there is a way to incorporate them through written law, if that makes sense? Like,
mm-hmm.
I disagree, and I know it's wrong to disagree with law, but we know Assassin's Creed is what people call alternate history. You know, it tries to follow history, but changes it, you know, so Templars are ruling history and such and such.
Right.
Now, we know that the Isu died out 77,000 years. 77,000 years ago, they died out. 75,000 years ago, yeah. And that was after the first Toba catastrophe.
Right.
Now, scientists in real life have been debating for years that the extinction event for dinosaurs that happened 6 million years ago was an asteroid. Now, what if, because the impact of the dinosaurs' extinction was a cataclysmic event that blew, that set off earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanic eruptions, blocked the atmosphere, which screams Toba catastrophe, the same solar flare that we've had that was decimated the Isu.
Right.
And we know that just like these solar flare that killed off the Isu, a lot of dinosaurs did survive. You know, the avian-style dinosaurs survived, crocodiles survived, and a lot more mammalistic dinosaurs survived by hiding in the ground. So, is it possible then in written law to suggest that the Isu are trying to crack if the first Toba catastrophe on record wasn't what killed them, but the dinosaurs?
Yeah, I could see that. And then, you know, instead of, especially with the, so I'm trying to remember back, because I know I finished 1 and 2 in Brotherhood recently, so that the endings for those are pretty fresh in my memory. I remember from one, they were trying to find the apple because they were trying to set up the pretty much the Abstergo Eye. But they didn't learn about the catastrophe until the end of 2, correct?
I believe so, yes, because it was when Juno or Minerva told Ezio about, you know, it's going to happen again, because right. they failed to stop it the first time.
So at that point, Abstergo would not be aware of the catastrophe until they got that data. And as far as I know, because I haven't played Revelations yet, but I'm trying to remember back to 3. At what point do the Templars learn about the catastrophe?
I don't think there's any concrete... I can't remember if there was any concrete evidence. We know that lot from the lore point of the games that what killed the Isu through the... I think it was obviously through glyphs or written law was the first Tobi catastrophe, but I don't think they've ever... The series has ever pushed backwards. It's as if the series has tried to state that the Earth formed and the only species to exist was Isu. There was nothing mm-hmm. else. There was no dinosaurs, nothing. And then the Tobi catastrophe. So it's like, even though Assassin's Creed plays history by ear, you know, a lot mm-hmm. of the historical events are accurate to real life, it's like the laws trying to say anything historically accurate before 130,000 years ago is cannon fodder. They can do what they want because they've never explored through data if, you know, as it states in The Empirical Truth, where time is on a loop, you know, it tries to correct itself.
Right.
You know, that could hint, you know, time's always trying to correct itself with a cataclysmic event. So the dinosaurs may have been a failed evolution, Tobi catastrophe, the Isu. But I really don't think the games have ever tried to expand that. I think they've just stated concrete fact that Tobi catastrophe was the thing that killed out Isu.
Right.
There was nothing before it, so I think it could just be a blank hole in the law. Blank slate.
Well, okay, gone. So I'm looking at it now. And so the Tobi catastrophe was a supervolcanic eruption. So everybody would know about that, or at least anybody that follows history. So I could see them knowing about that. Knowing that it killed the Isu, that would probably be less likely of them being aware that, oh, this killed the Isu. But then again, we know that Warren was one of the, what was it, Tools of the, I forget the full title.
I'm not too sure.
Was it Tools of the First Order?
I think so.
Let me double check.
Warren Vidic's very popular, came off my research a lot.
So there could be a way that he would know, because the inner circle of the Templar Order would have this knowledge. But let's see, where are you at? What was it called? New World Order.
See, the thing is, we know Charles Darwin is a canonical character in Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And we know canonically Darwin is the one that argues about evolution. So, and evolution's got to come from somewhere, which would, you know, and there's got to be dinosaur bones. So maybe it's just something that the games themselves, I've just never really thought we should create a law for it, because it's beyond the realms of possibility of looking into it. If the Animus cannot, without the help of memory fragments as seen in Valhalla, cannot reach Isu times 75,000 years ago, how can it hit dinosaur times? So it could just be a blank hole in the law that we're never going to fit, because it's not possible.
I don't think that it's not possible, and I found that it was Instruments of the First Will that I was thinking of. I don't think that it's not possible, but I think that it comes down from a real world dilemma to where they don't want to create a Assassin's Creed version of Far Cry Primal. Ubisoft doesn't. Because at then that point, it's like, you already made this game. Why are you doing this again? There's going to be absolutely nothing to show. I mean, the assassins wouldn't be there. The hidden ones wouldn't be there. There would be nothing to show. It wouldn't work as a game. So I guess, yes, you are right. It wouldn't be possible, because if they did have it, we would have to play as either an Isu themselves, like maybe a rebel Isu. But what would they be rebelling against? Because it wasn't until the humans were made that there was that kind of conflict. I mean, they probably did have some kind of internal struggles and stuff, but there wouldn't be anything to drive that unless it was just like, oh, let's make a game where you play as an Isu scientist messing around with various different aspects of prehistoric history, but we know it's all going to die up until this. So the only thing I could see it working as is it would have to be some kind of side quest or side story. You know, like you are an Isu of some form up until the Toba catastrophe, which, you know, the game ends there, which brings a thought to me, which I'll come down to later, because it's something I had been thinking about. But let's say that there's a science aspect of the game to where you have to help various scientists gather materials or whatever they need to do their work, and through that you'll learn how the pieces of Eden work. But up until the actual Toba catastrophe, or up until they create the humans, what's the conflict there? So, you know, they could put dinosaurs or something like that into the lore, or even into databases or whatnot, but it would only really be written where it would be beneficial, unless there was some kind of experiment that you have to fight, similar to the end of Atlantis when we fought that huge, like, shield-faced, you know, mass of humans. I can't remember what it's called, but, you know, that was probably the most monstrous thing I've seen since, before they dropped, was it Balder or what his name was in Ireland?
Sorry, I had a mic issue then. My mic was like, I don't want to work anymore. I can't remember who the big mythological fight in Ireland was, now that you bring it up.
Let's see. I'll pull it up while you're talking.
So, on about the dinosaurs, one thing I did stumble on in research, which will lead to another point later on, there's a very famous falsified humanoid dinosaur skeleton called Lucy. And it was revealed that Lucy was, in the AC lore, as a fossil falsely planted by Abstergo, but you learn that from the truth puzzles in AC2. So it shows that if they were willing to falsify fossils to be a humanoid creature to try and push people away from the truth, it is possible they may know that dinosaurs exist, but the history around it is complicated, because if you find the fossil for a dinosaur, because you can't determine when and where something dies of a carbon dating, so an Isu could die on top of where a dinosaur died, you know, not at the same time, obviously, but when you dig up the first skeleton and you find the humanoid, you would assume that a humanoid lived during the dinosaur times because of how the Earth crust was formed. Which would be insane, because that's not how it works. So the Abstergo would have to do some tampering of evidence to make sure something like that doesn't happen. Because they can't They have to keep it believed that humanoids didn't evolve properly till 130,000 years ago, right. Not when they used to create them, if that makes sense.
No, it does, it does.
Okay, I think we're all like deep in conspiracy territory now.
Yeah, definitely. Because there's at it's, you know, pretty much the first couple of minutes of the conversation is, can it happen? And then after that, it's like, okay, how could we get this to work? And that's really what it is.
I think realistically, then, dinosaurs shouldn't be made canon through visualization, you know, unless Basim or a future Isu has a memory of them trying and failing, the keyword there, failing,
right,
to create real-life dinosaurs in Abstergo, in Isu times, but it lost the time. That would be interesting, but maybe written lore through Isu letters or documentation of them trying to understand what destroyed the planet first. You know, what did they evolve from? Because
right,
they're very scientifically minded, so they've got to have found a way to learn history themselves. You know, why are we here? What did we evolve from? And what killed the dinos?
Right. So the beast was Balor. That's who we fought. Balor. It was a Fomorian. Fomorian is the species it's listed as. Which is just a supernatural race in the Irish mythology, which that could lead towards, you know, Isu. So, with what you were just saying there, another thought that I have is, I mean, obviously the Isu are going to have some kind of library where they keep their knowledge. And they could have done their own research on the dinosaurs and everything, possibly resurrected them and, you know, experimented on them or recreated and experimented on them. But I think very much like the Library of Alexander, when the Topa catastrophe happened and the Isu were destroyed, the majority of their knowledge was destroyed alongside of it. I mean, sure, we have the various pieces of Eden, but most of those are some kind of tool, you know, or action. There's only a few of them that have some form of data storage, like the Ankh of Isis, and which, you know, may or may not still be considered canon. I hope it is, because I thought it was a really cool Isu tool. But then, like, the Shroud having the ability of you know, holding thought and allowing Consus to take over somebody else. So I would think a lot of the data or a lot of the knowledge that they had may have been lost. And then, of course, we as humans went and did our own research. And I think very similar to what you were saying with, you know, the Isu potentially, you know, falling where a dinosaur had been, you know, buried, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago or millions of years ago, that could end up bringing into things like Lucy, where it's like, oh, this is a really weird, like, it's almost human, but it's also kind of animalistic. So, yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. Where was I going with this thought?
I kind of lost away. That's where I go with faults.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a possibility, but I couldn't see it going more than lore. And who knows, maybe this is something where we could see something in Infinity where they're like, you know, hey, let's add in a section of – that would be a really cool idea if they added in a section that was just the ultimate codex, you know, very similar to how the wiki works. If they built in their own digitized library of all of the codex pages that we've had in the past – in one place, you know, and then you can go in there and, I mean, pretty much having a in-game wiki, you know, that would be interesting, but it could be something that through puzzles or discoveries made over the course of various entries, or even community challenges like we're doing now to get tattoos and stuff, if the community does enough of this, they can discover what happened to the dinosaurs. Did the Isu work with the dinosaurs? Or, you know, through various different Isu language texts, you know, translate and find out, oh, look, they're talking about monsters with, you know, thousands of teeth and razor sharp claws and the ability to fly. You know, that sounds like a dinosaur to me, you know. But they didn't have a name for it, so they called it, you know, something else, or they just called it, you know, scaled beasts, you know, reptiles, you know, because, you know, dinosaur was a word that humans created, you know, and, you know, the Isus, you know, gave us, you know, the name human, but what else did they actually name that we have kept as still, I guess, truth or canon or relevance, you know? How much information did the humans take when Adam and Eve left that, you know, gave them knowledge? You know, what knowledge did the apple have in it for them to move off and become kind of, you know, sentient, you know, free-thinking humans? And then back to that, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, escaped from Eden, but what about the humans that were in Atlantis? You know, we know that they all got destroyed, so how long, you know, at what point were Adam and Eve made prior to Atlantis? Was that just something completely separated? Was, you know, where is this history of the dinosaurs coming from in this universe? Is it all just going to be from us, or is it going to be from information that they may have interacted with the Isu?
See, that's a really good question, and I think on that point where this information comes from, and I know this is going to anger some fans or people are going to be not happy, but mythology might hold the key. And now everyone's going to think, oh no, mythology, no. But it is known that Isu survived alongside humans after the total catastrophe. We know humans are born storytellers. Let's say hypothetically that the Isu had a name for dragon. I'm going to say dragon because it's the only thing I can think of. And that's what's right. How they described dinosaurs. So they told a human, you know, to remember those creatures before us. We called them dragons. They hunted, they scavenged, they had packs. But then that human told a friend and the friend. And over years, this dragon that was a T-Rex grew wings.
Mm.
It breathed fire. In some cultures, it was more snake-like. In some cultures, they got more evolutions, became verms, I think they're called, where they're more like worm-like and less dragony. But that could hold the key to how they explain some of the lore, if that makes sense. But not...
It does.
I mean, as well, the point, don't say everything in mythology is Isu lore, but everything in mythology has a basis in Isu lore. So,
right.
40% Isu lore, 60% human storytelling.
Right.
I think that could be like, and then you've left with that whole opportunity of finding the truth in the story. So, did they really breathe fire? No, dinosaurs didn't. So, what was the Isu trying to tell us about these dragons? And I'm using dragons because I know they're the biggest. You know, if you find a dinosaur skeleton with no legs, you're going to call it a dragon anyways.
Right.
So, mythology could hold the key to what happened to the dinosaurs, because the Isu could have told us about them, but we just ignored it and made our own story.
Another thought that I'm having is, so we have ideas of what we think dinosaurs looked at like, you know. You know, for the longest time, we thought velociraptors looked like what they do in the movies, you know, just kind of mini predatorial kind of T-Rex built, you know, dinosaurs that just move really fast. But more realistically, they more likely had feathers, because a chicken is very similar to a velociraptor. So it could be that, what if dinosaurs didn't actually even exist? And what we think we've found are creatures of the Isu So like their own, like what if the Isu, when they did, you know, get started on Earth, what if they had their own like arc of animals, you know, their creatures, and then their creatures ended up dying off, or say breeding and ended up creating what we think are dinosaurs, and that could be, you know, where they came from. Or let's say we have something that's T-Rex shaped, but it's completely different. Like, you think about the boars that we had in Asgard that we had to fight, made of pure metal and everything like that. What if we had something similar to that with the dinosaurs, but then when they died and we found their bones, we ended up creating, you know, the idea of, oh, this is what the Tyrannosaurus Rex looks like, but it really was something that was just completely different, and we had everything wrong.
That is actually, that would work perfectly for Assassin's Creed on the basis that, logically, in real human history, only 900 valid dinosaur species exist, and valid is because they've got all the bones to it. So,
right,
there could have been some pre-evolution lizardly creatures, but as you rightly said, these who must have had their own animals for farming, because it's how the world works, that them bones got mixed up, and people may just put bones two and two together to make a new dark creature. Mm-hmm. So let's go off your logic. I'm looking at a fossil of a T-Rex because my kid likes T-Rexes and I like T-Rexes.
Right.
So let's have, for example, state that what if the skull of a T-Rex wasn't actually part of a T-Rex, but a different creature, you know, and even though the bones connect, it is possible sometimes for stuff to get lost over time, so maybe the bones that we've put together for a T-Rex existed from two different animals.
Yeah, it could be something very similar to Lucy, you know, where they found what they think is a missing link, but it ends up just being two things that just fit together perfectly, you know? Like, think about Pangaea, for instance. You know, when they first really figured it out, it wasn't just, oh yeah, this looks like it fits together with this. They started finding similar creatures across a huge ocean. So there's a very good chance that we could find something where two things were in a battle and falling together, and then we're like, oh yeah, this looks like one creature. But then again, with the knowledge that humans had developed by the time that they were getting into archaeology, they're taking information that they may have had from, say, the Romans or the Middle East or just anywhere else where they were finding fossils and whatnot, and saying, okay, well, this is what they thought, but now we're finding that it's this. And then we get into the modern era and we start getting into DNA. At what point do they start discovering that, oh, these are two different creatures? You know, does it change? Does that come into the lore at all? I mean, there's so many different things that could be happening in the world of Assassin's Creed that we won't even see ever, you know, because we're contained to specifically what's happening between the Assassins and the Templars and the Isu, but there's got to be these major scientific discoveries that are being made elsewhere. Because while Abstergo, going back to your second point about Abstergo covering it up, while Abstergo does have their hand in so many different things, they presented themselves as a pharmaceutical company. And they just happen to work with all of these other industries, but there's got to be, you know, the Smithsonian, that's still going to be a thing, you know. The scientists that work in the Smithsonian or in the Natural History Museum that we have here in the States, or the Louvre in Paris, or the, you know, all of the major museums, they all have their own teams, you know, of historians and whatnot. And sure, the Templars may be, you know, filled in everywhere there, but it's not going to stop, you know, some of the greatest minds or discoveries, you know, from happening. You know, they're not going to be in every single scientific field, you know, because we look at, you know, we've got Ada Lovelace coming up in a book, you know, and we don't know exactly how she plays into the Assassin Templar story yet, and we'll find out when the book comes around, but not everybody in these stories or in these games are going to be affiliated with something, you know? Einstein was there, but was he affiliated? I don't believe he was. You know, I know some of the U.S. presidents were definitely affiliated. And, you know, a lot of governmental power, you know, and CEOs of companies, they were definitely affiliated, but the little guys, you know, the ones that are doing most of the work, their thoughts and whatnot are going to be what would actually build this history, these myths, these ideas. You know, at what point do they look at this and say, oh, this isn't right, these are actually two different creatures? Is that the point to where Abstergo's like, no, it's one, and we're going to cover that up and make you disappear so that we don't have to worry about it again?
That's an interesting point, but for me, a lot of the answers lie from Warren Vidic. There is, right. And I'm trying to find the quote. There's two quotes that really sum up. I can't find the first one I have down. Where in one of the conversations with Desmond Mild, Warren Vidic brings up about the benefactors. So it could be that Abstergo don't have the hands in every scientific field. That's impossible. It's too much. But maybe their benefactors do. And it's right. It's like Sigma Team.
Mm-hmm.
We know the Sigma Team was created to stop people abusing the Templar power and going crazy. So a team to sort them out. But that can't be everyone in Abstergo, because that's the pharmaceutical company. That could be the branches in the benefactors.
Right.
So there could be a lot of benefactors that are under the impression of if someone gets too close to the truth, they've got to, you know, stamp it out, which fits into the, I've just had the quote written down. The quote with Warren Vidic was when Desmond Miles is saying that, you know, some stuff hasn't seen the Animus, seems wrong, untrue, like the history is off somehow, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like, basically goes on to, anyone can write a book and they can put whatever they want on his pages. Anything used to be what we thought it would be. We thought the world would be flat.
Right.
Yes, and then they published books about it, or the moon landing was a hoax. I believe there's a book that claims the Earth was created in 7 days, bestseller 2.
Right.
And it kind of comes full circle with, what is it your ancestors say, nothing is true. Everyone can write a book. So everyone can say something and people are going to believe it. So is it really that hard for Abstergo to cover something up? They don't need to go to, like, extremism that you would see in TV shows and movies where they're bumping people off. It could be a thesis that discredits a man's work, or
right.
A letter that says, I think you should check these facts with falsified data that changes the angle you look at things. You know, carbon dating could be 130 years ago. Change a decimal point, you can make it shorter or longer.
Exactly.
So maybe the covering up Abstergo, like you say, may not be doing it because they are, you know, hiding under the pharmaceutical banner. Could benefactors be secretly editing books to keep people in control?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. But then here's the next thought on that. Why would they want to cover up what happened to the dinosaurs? You know, so there has to be some reason there. I mean, sure, they could say, oh, this is too close to what the Isu, you know, were. Or this has too much, you know, what point of the dinosaurs, or, you know, covering up to give us the story of what we now know of, or the history that we now know of dinosaurs, what were they covering up that they didn't want the public to know about? But could it be...
carry on.
Could it be that there was a creature that, say, had Isu DNA, and they're trying to reconstruct that so they have another kind of weapon? Or could it be that there was an artifact that killed the dinosaurs and not an asteroid or the Toba Catastrophe, but the Toba Catastrophe just wiped all of the actual evidence away? What would they be covering up?
I was thinking on the thought, what if the covering up of data could not be them trying to cover up the dinosaurs, but more of giving humans a goal to focus on? And by that I mean, we know that in the world of Assassin's Creed, humans are going to stumble on Isu temples and stuff like that, and they're going to have to be taken down before they can spread to the world, because it'll probably be bad news for the biggest pharmaceutical company if everybody goes talking about Isu. It's going to be a bit strange for them. But what if covering the tracks and changing facts and falsifying records and blah 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 is to keep humans away from looking for the Isu? You know, like
Assassin's Creed. Redirecting them.
Yeah, so like hiding in plain sight, you know.
That would make more sense, you know. Like, give them the dinosaurs to focus on while we're over here looking at the artifacts that we found on the top layer. You know, like you said, let's say an Isu fell where a dinosaur fell. Let's go get the Isu or the Isu stuff and then have somebody else continue to dig in that area or bring it for another. It's like, oh, hey, guess what? We found this giant bone. It looks like a rib. And then they bring in a different team from somewhere else. And so while say a college is out there excavating this dinosaur fossil, Abstergo has already cleared the area and headed off to somewhere else, you know?
And we have also established in lore and history, humans are the greatest storytellers.
Right.
And if you discredit somebody's work, so if someone's got too close to an answer to why the dinosaurs are extinct and you discredit the work, you create a story. It's like, okay, so this theory was wrong, let's make another theory, let's keep going, and it snowballed into a new story of why this happened. And eventually, the story will get so big and the myth of the extinction event will get so huge, nobody will be looking for the simple truth. So, as you said, you know, two creatures could come together that from, one from the Isu times, one from the dinosaurs. It's easier for Isu to cover up that it's two separate animals and make it one to keep humans living in a placid lie of our life is simple, you know, dinosaurs, extinction, we evolved, history. It's a simple truth for humans to swallow because humans may not be ready for the truth of we're not the first on this planet.
Right.
And maybe if Abstergo figured out that the Toba Catastrophe happened before, that maybe the sun sort of like is on a permanent loop, no stopping it. That would drive people insane. War of the Worlds. It definitely style. Would. So, really, then the big question of dinosaurs in Assassin's Creed isn't, what's the word, a physical thing needed, but it could be a cool way of showing how, law-wise, Templars are manipulating history to create the perfect lie.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. I think that's really where this question, what we get out of this question from a silly, oh yeah, were dinosaurs real? Did the Isu use them? What we're really looking at is, did the Templars cover something up, you know? So I think that's a great end for where the conversation has like directed to. I think that's a really interesting point because I didn't even think that we were going to end up here talking about did they cover this up and getting further into that. I mean, I didn't expect us to have a huge conversation about dinosaurs because, I mean, how much could you actually talk about unless we were to sit down and create an Isu dinosaur, which, you know, the only thing I could think of would be just a regular dinosaur, but it happens to have some kind of Isu weaponry on it. But who are they fighting? Other dinosaurs?
I just want dinosaurs with glowy lines. That's all I wanted. Just, you know, a T-Rex with glowy lines. There, it's cool.
Right.
I don't want weapons, I want a glowy lion dinosaur. Yeah, done, crit. I think this is this is the pro. Well, the problem of me, I'm 14 years, you know, I keep saying, and simple things of human history that we can cover have so much potential. You know, I argue point blank to everyone that mythology, I know it's off topic, is the greatest potential for Assassin's Creed. How it's handled, maybe not. But it could show, you know, how humans interpret Isu lore. You know, someone finds a temple, like Ezio did. You know, I've been wanting mythology since Ezio found the Isu vault under the Vatican. Someone finds that, makes a cult out of it, turns it to mythology. You know, the first ever sage remembers his life as an Isu, but he sees it as an act of a god. So he tells everyone, God's talking to me, this is what he's seen. It kind of has that same potential that dinosaurs, you know, are a simplistic, raw chomp Jurassic Park. But, sorry, I don't know why I'm trying to sing the theme. But it could lead to a whole thing of Abstergo are trying to control, well, I may be going a bit too far saying they're trying to control humanity, but I know the Templar is control through order, and a simple way of keeping order is keeping everything simple. You know, there was dinosaurs, everybody died, we evolved, we lived. It's a simple fact of life that no one would argue. You know, no one's going to go digging for something more unless you're a conspiracy theorist, which...
Right. And even if they do, they're not going to necessarily find anything.
Because time. Time's exactly. Too far ahead. So it's the greatest... It's the greatest treasure hunt for the Templars to hide behind a T-Rex. It's brilliant. It's like the best master plan ever, because no one's going to really rock up one day and say, oh, actually, I think you're hiding something because, you know, I went got into my time machine, I went back and saw a Stegosaurus. You know what I mean? It's just a great way for them to stumble upon Isu stuff and just like, hey, I found a glowy Isu ball. It does zappy stuff. And let's tell the public we found a Velociraptor skull. There you go. They get a new dinosaur to oo-at and we get a new shiny toy to play with.
Right. And I think the only other way that they could implement, like outside of writings in the game, would have to be finding some kind of recollection or journal or memory of an Isu that specifically talked about the dinosaurs. You know, very similar to how they did in The Last Ascendance with the... I can't remember the name of it. I always blank on these things. Pretty much the universal memories. You know, the things like, you know that a dog barks. You know, I don't have to tell you that. You know that. Or you know that the... what were some of the things? You know, we all know what that spiders are scary, you know, kind of starting off. Or, you know, there's a universal fear of heights and things like that, you know, or various different things. You know, you could have a similar childhood to how I do, and that's just a universal kind of truth. And that's what the kids had explored when they met Minerva, I think it was, in that memory, and then they learned how to fight the Isu artifact itself, or, you know, resist it. They could have something similar to that, to where through genetic memories of everybody being able to go back far enough in memory to find, say, Adam and Eve, and relive their life, you know. And that I think that would be a great idea for Ubisoft to go through, is a half Isu, half human game, where you start maybe as an Isu scientist, or you start as Adam and Eve being created, and get through the point to where you've escaped Eden and you're out. But through your time in Eden, you're learning about things like the dinosaur and other kind of prehistoric histories, you know, or what they're doing, you know, possibly even seeing things like Minerva and Jupiter and Juno you know, leaving all of this information for the future assassins, you know, stuff like that. That could be, you know, cool. And then you throw Cassandra in there for fun.
Because Cassandra's fun. I am imagining, and this is going back to a point you made ages ago, and I think it's the last thing I could think of discussing, unless you've got something. So you mentioned the codex for AC in Infinity.
Right.
And what if we spin that? Because we know use our skills with Discovery Tour. What about a virtual library that is basically, as you said, a codex, everything, and there's different sections, you know, like Isu Life and then all the true stuff. You could rewatch the true videos from Assassin's Creed 2 Glyphs, you know, dinosaurs. You could play little lore snippets of the dinosaurs and maybe have Cassandra tour guide in the library, or having your own character choice touring the library for you. So it's like the world's largest Discovery Tour is a live service codex that you can visit every day and learn everything from AC Law.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And a way of gamifying it would be if they see that you have save data for games like AC1 and AC2 and AC3 or, you know, all of the various things, then it automatically unlocks all of that codex. But then for those of us who don't have the ability of playing it or never played it or choose not to play it, you have other ways of unlocking it through, you know, in-game currencies. Nothing premium. I don't think you should have to pay for something that's already public knowledge, you know, even though the majority of public doesn't know this knowledge from the AC universe. But, you know, I think as, for instance, the, you know, the PS4 or the PS5, you can't play AC1 on there right now. But you can do it on the Xbox, so Xbox users would be able to go in and get all of the codex stuff from AC1, and then it would automatically be unlocked. Or, since the codex hadn't really been created yet, they just automatically give you all of the data from there, you know, right away. Or even all of the data from all of the previous games is automatically unlocked, and then through digging through it and doing your own research, like finding pieces of the puzzle, doing ciphers and things like that, translating, you could end up finding new data, going into deeper story-driven information, but also fun little tidbits like, oh yeah, here's something about dinosaurs, here's something about, you know, Pablo Picasso, you know, here's something about, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, that could be a cool way of implementing those. And then, you know, if they decide they want to continue to add in little tidbits, it's like, oh, let's go ahead and add this in here and be like, oh, hey, you know, for those of you that enjoy the library of the Isu or whatever they want to, the Isu archive, we've added in new updates with new puzzles and stuff like that. And you could learn more about, you know, the Sword of Eden or something like that. And, you know, tie that into, oh, hey, let's go ahead and have you play, you know, a Joan of Arc story now, you know, or whatever these little snippet, you know, games that they're going to end up releasing. Like if they give us like an updated China, or if they give us a, you know, a Mayan, you know, game that's like 30 hours and you get all that data, that goes in and unlocks more stuff. And then you could end up unlocking, what are they going to do next? You know, we have all of this information showing that they're leaning towards an Indonesian, you know, piece of Eden. That's what the next update's going to be, you know. But then at what point do they run out of things to do? At what point does the game series end up having to come to a halt because they've now gone through everything that's possible? I know we have, you know, thousands and thousands of years of history, but at what point do we kind of get burnout?
I think the best possible answer for that would be, and I know it's a term nobody likes, but live service. Don't give everybody... So this Infinity Tournament's live service lasts a long time. So every new live update could add one or two or three Animus glyphs into the game that you're going to find in the world, and you solve them, and, you know, they unlock pieces of the Codex library. You know, it's a good little nod to finding the glyphs in the old day.
Right.
But if that Infinity lasts for 10 years before the game series ends its natural life, then you've had 10 years of updates to get all this lore without getting burnt out. Because you could even then implement how Valhalla handled it, you know, with the challenges, with the really irritating platforming style stuff. So
right,
there's ways they could do it, drip feed it, but in exciting ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think it's something that they can and will end up dragging out as long as they can. But and I feel like it's a universe that has so much potential that it can go for a long time, even if it ends up just, you know, breaking off and going into a new route to where it's like this originally started as Assassin's Creed and now it's this new game series, you know, but where it's just the next iteration of it. But, you know, I think about that fairly frequently about, like the dinosaurs, when is the universe going to end?
I argue there's only one possible way for it to end, and I think the series is coming to an end already, but I don't actually believe it will. But with Bastion being around, the only logical ending for the series is the Sage Mechanics was actually revealed to be a sleeper cell program. The Easter were trying to rise up and take the Earth back. That's how they're going to cheat the catastrophe, but it failed because it was unpredictable.
All right.
But Basim and the first, oh, what, the instruments of the first will are able to find ways to bring them back, so they create an army of Isu, and the last ever game is a modern day only game where
right.
the assassins have to work with the Templars to defeat the Isu.
Yes. But yeah, that's been my thought as well. There has to be that ultimate, the Isu are the true enemy, because they're the ones that were trying to control everything, and the Templars, at least the ones that aren't part of the instruments of the First Will, would team with the assassins to fight, say, Basim. I mean, Basim could be our ultimate bad guy, you know, the one that was able to actually break through to the modern age, survive everything else, and bring to fruition what the Isu were trying to accomplish.
That would be dope. And I think the only point I would make, and I know it's going to anger anyone who hears this, because if it actually happened, it's the biggest dick move ever. But I love the idea that the Turbo Catastrophe is on a permanent loop. You know, the time's going to keep correcting itself. And I think it would just be really poetic and for the assassins to be the Isu, and the Isu get the last life, because they've realized through simulation after simulation, reader after reader, time is inevitable. The catastrophe will never stop. So I do think it would be really poetic end at the very last game that we've beat the Isu, but there is a catastrophe coming sometime soon, and the cycle will renew. And I think that'll just be a poetic way to end it.
Yeah, it's starting to remind me of the... I'm not sure how much you know about it, but the way that the Legend of Zelda series works, you know, once they released Skyward Sword, they explained that there is a similar time loop in every single game iteration, which has the same kind of underlining story, which for Assassin's Creed, it would be the Toba Catastrophe, or the next catastrophe, the next solar flare. The story that leads up to that each time, while it has the same, we have to stop this catastrophe, it's retold in a different aspect. So they could go back and redo, you know, in Assassin's Creed Universe 2.0, like go multiverse almost, where it's like, okay, cool, this worked really well, but what if instead of the assassins being the main players, what if the Templars were the main players and they redo every single game, but you now play as a Templar on the opposing side and they end up winning and just doing a really true alternative history to where they go through every single iteration of history and just flip it completely 180. You know, and then we have an entirely new game series where it's like, oh, wow. But then at that point, you get into more ethics and stuff like that, because you can get into things like, you know, the Crusades, where they were succeeded and they killed everybody that they wanted to kill. Or I'm trying to think of one that's more, you know, Renaissance Italy, where they ended up, you know, being just completely influential and controlling of everything, to where, you know, artists were imprisoned and things like that, and we lose all of this art. And then, you know, Nazi Germany and, you know, the French Revolution, to where the actual monarchy ended up defeating their people, you know. And you, at that point, you just have a big ugly game series of just dick people just controlling the masses. But that doesn't really seem like it would be fun unless you're, you know, a bit demented.
An alternative history where the Templars are the rulers. We'll call it, we'll have, right? I don't mind it. We'll have the Assassin's Creed series and the Templar Order series. But they'll each be joined with the tagline, part of the Assassin's Creed universe.
Right.
So it's all canon to the AC universe, but I would imagine playing AC3, but you only play as Haytham.
Right.
That would be so cool.
There's a lot of it to where it would be extremely cool, especially the games where you have a very identifiable enemy. I think that would be cool. And even with that, you know, they could throw in some new aspects and do something that's like a Far Cry Primal, where we deal with dinosaurs. Or, you know, I would love to see a game where we get to play as an Isu and not just an Isu hybrid or an ancestor of an Isu, or I guess somebody whose ancestor was an Isu. Like somebody that's just full-blown Isu. But I think, and this is a thought that I was kind of pointing to earlier, we have not had an Assassin's Creed game that I can think of where our main protagonist that we play as dies. Like, in-game.
I don't think there is.
Because Altair made it all the way to Revelations, as far as games go. You know, he lived his full life. Ezio lived his full life. Connor, you know, we got as far as to him having a daughter in the comics. Edward, we're still waiting for, because they're going to do the next part for Edward. But I would love to see whether it be in the webtoon for Edward or in some kind of sequel, you know, let's, you know, take Arno, let's take Jacob and Evie, let's take, you know, Bayek. I mean, all of these people, we know that they do die because, you know, this, we're dealing with things that are hundreds of years old. But why not have a game to where, very much like Red Dead Redemption, the first one, our assassin actually gets killed. And then, you know, the game just ends. Like, there's no post-game. It would have to be some kind of linear story, but there's no post-game. There's no coming back to the open world and finishing what you didn't finish, unless it reverted back to before you finished the final battle, like we would with Final Fantasy VII, before you jumped in the crater. Or, like in Legend of Zelda, where it's like right before you enter the room to fight Ganon, it just reverts back to that, and then you could just turn around and go and finish up everything you missed, and you have a little, you know, star on your save file saying, oh yes, you beat the game. You know, here's the codex data for it, so you know what happened and everything. But we've never had a game where the assassin has actually died, and it's not something that we can control, because I would love to see something in the idea of Halo Reach, you know, where it's like you have that final battle where it's like, this is unwinnable and you know it's going to, but you're going to keep fighting, you know. Or we get to the end of the story where they're fighting the Templar Grandmaster or whoever it is that's the big bad, and then they fail, you know. I think that would be something great. And I think all of these ideas and stuff, because we, you know, the whole podcast has been about dinosaurs and whatnot, but that same kind of idea of what did the Templars cover up could be the same thing. What if the Templars did win something, but they covered it up to make it look like we won it as the assassins, and nobody knew the actual truth.
That has kind of blown my mind, because I think covering the truth of Victor can create a martyr. Your cause can be made more noble if you made it look like you lost.
Yeah.
That's trippy.
No, I mean, I could even see it coming to the very end of this, to what if we get down to it, to where the Assassins and the Templars have to fight the Isu, and then the Assassins come to the understanding that the Templars had it right the whole time, and the only way that we can stop this idea of free will, because it's destroying, or it's getting us further away from actually saving the planet, what if we do have to break our only tenets and end up making this public, hurting innocent people, and knowing that, everything is, or nothing is true, everything's permitted. What if that is, yes, nothing is true, because we have to make this final decision and pretty much take away free will from everybody to wipe the slate clean? What if the last Toba catastrophe or solar flare that we have doesn't kill everybody, but it wipes the slate clean to where everybody forgets everything that's happened so far?
That would be pretty cool.
And starts over.
That would be mad, but so cool.
And then there's dinosaurs.
Perfect way to tie it up. Then there's dinosaurs. Then the dinosaurs crawl out the earth, and it's Jurassic Park, and we're all going...
We find out that the entire world is just the dream of a dinosaur. Be like, that'd be a cool idea for a video game, and then it just cuts to black.
I'm dying now. Imagine that. You just play the game, and it's like, at the end, and the dinosaur woke up. Just a little T-Rex. He's like, huh, I don't know what I dreamed about, but I liked it. I want those games. A little T-Rex dreaming of his life on an adventure, and he wakes up and he's like, sat in his cave, bored. Like, oh, my dream life was better. I'm going back to sleep. I want that as a game. Somebody pattern that. So, I think that's all we got time for this evening. If you enjoyed this episode, then you can follow us on Twitter, at AC Let's Talk, and James at I know he's not here, but I'll give him a shout out. At James Tilly Quid. You can also email us your thoughts on tonight's podcast and how you think dinosaurs should be incorporated into law. You can email us at Assassin's Creed Let's Talk. Assassin's Creed Let's Talk at gmail.com. I keep wanting to say at as my email, but nobody @s your own email address. So, this is all we've got time for. And next week we have a big episode. I'm going to try and get done for Christmas Eve, so you can have plenty of time on Christmas Day with your sherry, your prezi, and everything in between to listen to me and James. So thank you again, Lord Rose, for joining, and we'll see you all next week.
Thank you for having me.